time for the Rundown with Rob Sanders.
Well, we're waiting.
Welcome into the Rundown. I am Rob Sanders. Thanks for joining me this afternoon here on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeart Radio app. I've got a great show planned for us today. We'll have some comments from Coach Dabo Swinney. Also, some comments from interim head coach Mike Bobo with the South Carolina Gamecocks. All of that coming up, but first, we have to have a good leadoff hitter. Our leadoff hitter today is from the ACC Digital Network. Wes Bryant joins us here on the program. Wes, did you play baseball when you were in high school?
I was just about to say, when I heard the leadoff hitter comment, I was trying to think of what leadoff hitter that I may be compared to. Now, I'm no baseball savant, but I'm thinking more like a Kenny Lofton type.
I'm thinking you're the Ken. You're my Ken Griffey Jr., which, that's what I want for Christmas. I want a Super Nintendo Entertainment System with Ken Griffey Jr. baseball. I don't want any other games. I just want that. Hopefully my wife is listening and she'll find that for me.
What a legend, man. That's my favorite baseball player of all time, and he is the sole reason that I am still a Seattle Mariners fan to this day. I remember playing triple play baseball with him and Alex Rodriguez in the gang. And being a resident sneakerhead, he did have an awesome line of sneakers.
Are you a sneakerhead too?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
See, I'm big on my flip-flops, but as far as sneakers go, my first pair of Jordans that I bought, and I couldn't tell you what kind of Jordans they are. It's just when I got a job after I got out of the military, it's like, I can afford a pair of Jordans. So I went and bought a pair of Jordans, and I still have those. And I think I've got like three other pair of basketball shoes. And I mean, I've got other shoes, but I admire people like Coach Elliott for the Clemson Tigers is a big shoe guy too. So what's your favorite pair of shoes that you actually have?
Oh, man, right now, because I'm a big style guy, but I love comfort, too. I probably have a pair of Command Force LeBron James's. They're probably my favorite shoe in my collection at the moment. I don't get a ton of the exclusives, and I hate really paying retail for my shoes like that. I always try to get the deals. So I don't have a huge collection of Air Jordans, but I do have a few. But my favorite pair would definitely have to be right now my Command Force LeBron 17s.
I've got a pair of Kobe shoes that I still have. That's the black and white set that they put out. Anyway, we could talk shoes forever because I mean I guess I'm kind of into it that I don't even realize it now that I'm talking about it. But hey, let's talk about some ACC football, man. We're kind of winding down the season here, brother. It looks like we're going to end up with the top three teams. Miami, Clemson, and Notre Dame, that's probably going to be, you know, two out of those three will be heading to Charlotte to play for the championship. That's kind of the way we thought it was going to go at the beginning of the season, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Clemson and Notre Dame, you know, they're both big brands. Clemson has definitely come on as of the last 6-7 years to really become one of the top brands in college football. And then Notre Dame, you know, they've been a top brand pretty much seems like the beginning of time. So, you know, when they came over, just a perennial top 10 team, you know, the talent they have, the coaching. So you figured it was going to be the two most well-coached teams and the two most talented teams at the top. And I think that's what we're getting.
Yeah, and it really has broken down where it's going to be those three teams. And, you know, I think a lot of people, do you get the vibe that a lot of people don't really are giving Notre Dame as much respect as they should deserve as far as where they are right now? I mean, people still look at the ACC and think it's just the Clemson show.
Yeah, I will say that. I do think Notre Dame, you know, people are respecting them, but not to the extent you would think, because I think a lot of people look back on that matchup. Clemson did not have Trevor Lawrence. They were missing defensive players. They were at home, and they still barely got out of there alive. So I think a lot of people were looking at that matchup like, well, if Clemson was Clemson at full strength, They would have took care of Notre Dame or taken care of Notre Dame, and a lot of people think probably handily. So when Notre Dame makes the trip down here to Charlotte, I think they will continue to have that chip on their shoulder. They will not have any type of arrogance at all over what they've done already. They're going to be looking to really drive the nail into the coffin, so to speak, of the Clemson Tigers. And that's the mentality that they're going to come in with, and I think Clemson has to be ready for that.
As we look at the rest of the ACC, can you tell me a team that surprised you this season with, I mean, the easy answer is NC State, but is there another team that's kind of surprised you with the way the season has turned out?
I just continue to go with the Miami Hurricanes. This was a team that I thought was going to be middle of the pack. Even though they got De'Aaron King, I knew he was going to come in and provide leadership for them, and he was going to be an upgrade at the quarterback position, to say the least. But this is just a football team where I look down at the talent. You know, you're used to Miami, the Andre Johnsons and first-round picks and second-round picks all over the roster. You don't really see that with this team. They do have some guys, though. I do think Jalen Phillips is a uber-talented player. You're talking about Quincy Roche. You know, as I said, De'Aaron King is a really good player. Well, but you just didn't look at this roster and it didn't look like the Miami that we're, I can't even say that we're used to seeing, because like I said, they haven't been what we thought they were going to be since they've been in the ACC, really. But just from the days of Miami lore, and people have been waiting, and it seems like every year we ask the question, is there you coming back? I get so tired of hearing that, Rob, you have no idea. But this was a team this year that I thought they would be a little better, but they've been really good. And so I've been surprised that they've been right up there and been a top 15 team most of the year.
As we head into this weekend, Clemson's on the road at Virginia Tech. And I have to ask you this from a player's perspective. You know, there's talk of it maybe some really, really cold weather up there, maybe some snow. I mean, we don't know. I don't like to try to predict Mother Nature because I don't like doing that. But playing in weather that cold, how can that affect a football game?
Well, I have not played, or I had not played in any cold, icy temperatures like that. I mean, you know, towards the end of the year, Winston, it does get cold and it does snow, but never anything like that. But for the most part, you're focused on a task at hand, especially when your team of Clemson's caliber. They're starting to smell the college football playoff. They're smelling the ACC championship. They're smelling revenge against Notre Dame. So I think this team right now is going to be laser-focused. It could be minus 20 outside, and I think they're going to come to play. As long as the cleats get traction on the grass, I think they'll be ready to go. But as a player, like I said, you come out there and focus on the task at hand. You kind of think about the cold maybe in between, like maybe when you're standing sidelines or after the game, or maybe when you come out for warm-ups, you're like, man, it's pretty chilly out here. But when you're in between the lines and you have that play card and you go out and to execute offensively or defensively, you're just thinking about what you need to do and how you can get that done the best way possible.
I just wonder about things like the snap from center and not having to play normally in that, if things like that can affect an offense. It's just going to be South Carolina's dealing with the same thing. I think it was one of the players was asked in the press stuff yesterday about playing in the snow up at Kentucky, and he said, I've never seen snow. So with that, it kind of makes you think, hey, is that going to be a big deal? But that's still going to be an interesting matchup. You know, Coach Sweeney was talking about Virginia Tech today in that they have like the ninth-ranked rushing offense in the country, but they run a lot of option with the ability to throw the ball. I mean, they're a very unique Virginia Tech offense.
Well, we know Dabo, you know, he's a coach's coach, and he's going to come out, and he's going to try to bring up something to make you think that the team they're playing against has a chance to be within a couple of scores of them. But in reality, Virginia Tech's been a very one-dimensional offense this year. They've had trouble passing the football, and we know in today's college football, especially if you want to play with a team like the Clemson Tigers, you know, Virginia Tech sitting at 12th in the ACC in passing offense, and when you talk about pass efficiency, a little bit better sitting at 8th in the country. But Clemson, especially when you're playing a team like this with this kind of talent up front defensively, they know that the task is simple. Let's make them play by behind the chains. Let's get them in third and longs where they're not comfortable, and then we're going to unleash these dogs in the pass rush, and we'll see if they can make plays on third down, because that's going to be the key to the game. Can you convert a third and eight? Can you convert a third and 11? If you cannot do that on a regular basis against this Clemson defense, it's going to be a long day. We know Hendon Hooker, he's a very capable quarterback, but he is very sporadic as a passer. That is a recipe for disaster against the Clemson Tigers, as I said, especially team right now that's starting to really dial in their focus to get to their goals for the season. And so, like I said, Dabo, he does a great job of it, as every coach does. I mean, we played North Carolina A&T once, and our coach really tried to put it in our heads that they were capable of beating us, but we knew that was, you know, as we called it, DuckTales.
So do you think that – do you think – you know, DuckTales. Do some players need to hear that, though? Do they need to hear, look, you're not superhuman?
It's human nature. But that's the thing, a program like Clemson, that's why you have good leadership in your locker room. And as I said, the goals that they have in front of them, you know, you have a guy like a Trevor Lawrence, because you have multiple personalities on the team. Yeah, you're going to have some guys that are still going to come out, be laser folks, say, look, guys, let's come out and take care of business, that are business-like. And that's how you have to approach these type of games. When you know, when you step out of that locker room, you're much more talented than they are. You can look at the film and you see it. But, you know, some guys may come out and be a little bit lackadaisical, but that's where your senior leadership, the leadership of your upperclassmen, and you don't have to be an upperclassman as well to lead. You have to be a player that comes out and shows it on the football field and plays the game the right way. You can tell guys, listen, no, we're not going to come out and play around with this team. Let's get rid of Merlin. You see, Clemson does that. What did they do this weekend? They came out as a superior team to a Pittsburgh Panther team, and they got rid of them in the first quarter. And that's how you can tell a team is focused. There was no coming down to the wire, third quarter, still hanging around. They three interceptions, touchdowns. They're getting you out of there early, and they're going to start playing those freshmen and those underclassmen. So I'm not too worried about the Tigers when it comes to focus on an opponent.
All right, I got a couple more questions for you that I want to ask you. Of course, Wes Bryant from the ACC Digital Network, and do you mind talking about the college football playoff with me? Because I want to share something that that is interesting to me anyway. My big question is, and we've talked about Ohio State before. Mm-hmm. Can you still put Ohio State in the conversation if they don't qualify to play in the Big Ten championship game?
No, I've been a huge proponent of that since the playoffs have been started. I want conference champions in, even years when the SEC has gotten two teams in. Now, granted, the eyeball test does play into it as well. So when we did get Alabama and Georgia in those years, I felt good about that. But this year, that's going to be tough to do, especially for an Ohio State football team. If they don't get to the Big Ten championship game, we saw against Indiana, they were tested. But like I said, now when you look at the teams at the top of the ladder who we could be talking about, you're talking about a Florida team that could get to an SEC championship if they're able to beat Alabama. Well, those two very eligible teams. If Notre Dame and Clemson play again and Clemson wins and it's a tight, hotly contested game, well, they're two candidates right there from the ACC. So, yes, I do think it's going to be very difficult. And truthfully, Rob, I think at this point it could be difficult for Ohio State just to get in off of the merits of what's going on, especially what will happen conference championship week. If we get a couple of upsets, that's going to really complicate things because, you know, if Notre Dame loses closely and Alabama loses closely to Florida, well, in my opinion, that would be your four best teams in the country right there. And as much as I've been a proponent of Ohio State, that would be a great four right there, and I'd be more than happy with that.
I think the thing that gets me, though, is that it seems like we're kind of pushed Ohio State down our throats a little bit, and maybe that's why it's like, in my eyes, it's like, you know, they haven't really, you know, they have all this talent. I get that. They've got a great coach, great quarterback, et cetera. But if we don't play the games, I mean, it doesn't, you don't really know how great they are. And the best example of this is last year with Alabama. Alabama was playing a Mississippi State team that they were 30 points better than. They're rolling out their quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. he goes and tries to make a play, and they're up by 30, I think, at that point. Rolls out and ends up shattering his hip and ending his season. And things like that happen. Now, I'm not saying that there should be an injury or whatever, but you have to run the gauntlet, in my opinion, to be in the college football playoff. And four games just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you on that. And as I said, the way things are shaking out, the teams that are going to be at the top, and like I said, of some of the quote-unquote slight underdogs for those games are able to get victories. Now, I don't know that Clemson will be an underdog against Notre Dame. If they played them again, I would doubt that they would be. But I know that Florida will if they're able to run the gauntlet and get to the SEC championship game. I mean, like I said, you're talking eyeball test, productivity, talent. All of these teams check off all of the boxes. Plus, one thing that's really hurting Ohio State this year is the lack of depth in the Big Ten. I mean, Wisconsin hasn't been able to play, and they're still kind of young when you're talking about their quarterback. Penn State, who would have ever thought what's happening to them would be happening? Michigan, same thing. So the foes that they were going to have on that schedule where they could have looked and said, well, hey, we beat the top 10 Penn State. We beat the top 20 Michigan. We beat the top, you know, whatever, Wisconsin in the Big 12 championship game. Well, that's more than likely not going to be there for their resume, so their case has been weakened by that.
All right, well, it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out, and I think the shot across the bow was last week when the College Football Playoff Committee said, we're releasing our rankings on the 20th. So with that, unless the rules for the Big Ten change, which I think that in this era of the way football and everything else is, that could happen. Or if the College Football Playoff Committee changes their mind, I mean, Ohio State's probably going to be on the outside looking in. So, but it's just interesting either way. All right, so tell folks where we can find some of your stuff, man. You guys put out great stuff at the ACC Digital Network.
Yeah, check us out. ACC Digital Network. We're not the ACC Network associated with ESPN, the ACC Digital Network. Catch us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Also, you can catch me on Twitter, Westcott Range. And you can catch me on Instagram, Westcott Range 704.
All right, Wes, man, once again, I appreciate you joining us here on The Rundown, man. Looking forward to chatting with you later on.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it as always, my man.
All right, there you go. Wes Bryant from the ACC Digital Network joining us, talking a little football. And he agrees with me on the Ohio State thing. And a lot of folks, I caught some brushback on that, but not as much as I thought I would. You haven't run the gauntlet, ladies and gentlemen. You got to do that if you're going to be expected to go into the playoffs. I really don't care about the eye test. The eye test can say that you're great, but we don't know if you can deal with adversity. And that's a big deal. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more for you on The Rundown. Some comments from Coach Mike Bobo and some comments from Coach Dabo Swinney about their matchup with Virginia Tech. All that and a lot more in just a moment. You're listening to The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to The Rundown here on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Love the fact people can listen from wherever. So download the app. You can listen whenever you want. By the way, don't forget, tomorrow, Kevin Fitzgerald from ESPN. He is calling the game today between Creighton and Oklahoma. I didn't know Oklahoma, it's Omaha. It's Creighton and Omaha. That's who he's calling the game for today. So, yeah, if you're into Creighton and you're watching them on ESPN, the guy that's actually doing the play-by-play call will join us tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit of hoops and other things. Of course, he does a lot of he does SoCon stuff all over the place, man. He's really, really doing a lot of stuff for ESPN. So we'll have him on. Also, Will Vandervoort, I'm working on getting him on the show for Thursday, and working on getting Mike Mooneyham, one of my favorite writers for the Post and Courier. Just a great guy too. But lots of I got to scratch my pro wrestling itch, man. We're going to talk a little bit of wrestling too at some point this week. But I thought we'd look today at South Carolina, their matchup with Kentucky. Some comments from interim head coach Mike Bobo. And he's very impressed with the Kentucky offense, even though on paper they don't really look like they're that great?
First off, I want to say, you know, how impressed I am when I watch Kentucky on tape. Just not looking at records, just looking at how they play the game. I think they're a physical. I know they're a physical football team on both sides of the ball. Offensively, I think their line of scrimmage is one of the better lines of scrimmage in the league. I love how their center plays. He's smart. He's physical. So obviously, he calls all their calls up front and gets them in the right blocking schemes. They have very good running backs. What's this? 24 and 22. Chris Rodriguez and then Asim Rose. Those two guys are exceptional guys. They run behind their pads, run physical. Terry Wilson's a guy that can hurt you with his legs and his arm. But they're a physical football team on offense. It's a mindset game for us defensively. We're going to have to be able to stop the run. We're going to have to be able to line up to the different things they do on offense. They do a lot of shifts, a lot of unbalanced formations where we got to make the right checks and get in the right gaps. Defensively, they're based out of a 3-4 defense. They've got aggressive guys outside that can run. Up front, they're huge. Says 357 pounds for 95. He looks about 370, but they got big guys in there that can anchor the point and two gap. And they've got guys that can fly around defensively. I think they're first or second in the league in interceptions. They do a great job because they play a lot of vision coverage, play a lot of zone. And if you're not accurate in your passes or try to push the ball downfield too much in zone coverage is where they get interceptions. The punter is an outstanding punter. And number six, their leading receiver is a good returner. Coach Stoops has done a great job. I remember when he came into the league, I was still at the University of Georgia, and he's built that program, and he's built it around toughness. I know they've had some COVID issues and had an opt out yesterday, but I think we're all dealing with issues right now at every team. But we got an opportunity to play, and we're going to have to be ready because this is a physical football team, and we're going to have to play more physical than we've been playing to have a chance in Lexington on Saturday night.
So when you hear that, you think that the Kentucky offense is absolutely awesome. And there are good things about the Kentucky offense, but one thing that Coach Bobo didn't tell you is that they can't throw the ball. I mean, let's just be honest. They cannot throw the football. I mean, it is really bad as far as that offense goes and throwing the football. In fact, as far as yards per game, Kentucky is dead last in the Southeastern Conference. 291 yards a game is what they bring to the field on the offensive side of the ball. Now, defensively, they can get after it. This is a team that's picked off, I think one game they had four interceptions. So they have a very active secondary, something that could cause some problems there for young Luke Doty as he gets out there for his third start of the season. Excuse me, his second start of the season. So that should be interesting too, but they as far as passing yards per game, they average 115 yards passing. I mean, that is really, really bad. Now they're trying to run the ball, and that's good, but Kentucky's one of those teams that if they get up on you, they're not going to let up, meaning that defensively you're not going to score much, okay? And they're going to try to run the ball down your throat all night long. So the big thing for the Gamecocks in this matchup is, can they stop the Kentucky rushing attack? If they can hold the Wildcats in check with that, then there's a chance the Gamecocks can win this game. I understand they're, a 12-point underdog? And to be honest, the defense looked pretty good against Mizzou, not so good against Georgia. But still, you got to play the matchup anyway. Should be interesting to see how this game goes for South Carolina. Some other notes: Shai Smith, the wide receiver for the Gamecocks, did practice in a yellow jersey, according to Coach Bobo today. So he is still in protocol. There were a couple other notes here that I had about this game that was kind of interesting. We'll give you those. One of the big things is, if make sure I give you the exact, because I wrote them down here. All right, anyway. So, as my notes just kind of went away. Oh, Enagbare, the South Carolina leader in sacks, is going to be out. So, yeah, you have to deal with that. But if Shai Smith plays, this is a game South Carolina could possibly work themselves into a point where they can win. The question is, can you stop those running backs for Kentucky? Rose is a good running back. And Kentucky's had 1,000-yard rushers every year. By the way, something else, too. The offensive line wants Kevin Harris to get 1,000 yards as something they can build on for next season. I think he needs 71 yards to get there. So we'll see how that works out for him. Can he do that for South Carolina? Because there haven't been a lot of getting 1,000-yard rushing is not easy. So we'll see how that works out for Kevin Harris and the Gamecocks this weekend as they wrap up. Lots of talk about who the coach is going to be. You know, you never know anything until something is set in stone. There's so many rumors that are flying here, there, and everywhere else. I don't think anybody knows who really is going to be the head coach except for Ray Tanner or maybe President Caslin. Just saying. The talks about it's a done deal with Shane Beamer. Do you really know that for sure? It may be. Maybe the coach for West Virginia. Who knows at this point? You don't know until the ink dries. I remember back when they hired Spurrier, it was like, everybody's like, yeah, Spurrier's coming. People texting me saying things like, I got emails. Oh, well, Spurrier bought a house on the lake. Okay. So what? Who doesn't want a house on Lake Murray? And then, of course, I look silly when they hired Spurrier. So as far as coaching hires go, I'm not going to sit here and throw myself out there so I look silly. I do want the opinion of the Gamecock fan base, though, on if they do hire a Shane Beamer, if that's someone that the Gamecock fan base wants. We can take calls on that at 803-978-1832. 803-978-1832 is the number to call if you want to join us on the Rundown this afternoon. Here on Fox Sports Radio 1400, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. I'm on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app as always. Appreciate you joining us here on the program. A couple of other little notes here. The saga at Forfeit State University, which is what I refer to with Florida State right now. Apparently, they plan to play a game on December the 12th, which will not be this Saturday, but next Saturday. And with that game on the 12th, Coach Mike Norvell said, we're going to go to work this week and prepare for the faceless opponent that we have there on the 12th. So they're talking about playing somebody. Now, Coach Dabo Swinney said today that they plan on playing someone on the 12th. So under that logic, it would be Florida State. So I think, just judging by what we've got here, that it looks like it's going to be Clemson and Florida State. Where that game's going to be, I don't know. I mean, I would hope that they would come to some sort of an agreement and figure out something, but I don't know how that's going to work out. I really don't. On the other hand, I think that just judging by those comments that that's probably what's going to happen, is that Clemson will end up playing Florida State on the 12th. They got to get through that matchup, though, with Virginia Tech first. Coach Dabo Swinney talked a little bit about that matchup today at his weekly press conference.
You know, sad that our home season is over, but it was a great finish for us this past week. Just really appreciate our fans for showing up this year and giving us the best, even in this environment we're all in, giving us the best, you know, home atmosphere out there. Really appreciate our fans for that. So proud of our team. But from this point forward, we got to go get it done on the road, and got a big challenge this week going up to Blacksburg. Looking forward to it because this will be a different type of challenge than what we've seen. Night game, Blacksburg, the weather, snow, rain, you name it. So to me, that's a great challenge and something we look forward to. But their football team, you know, first of all, when you look at their offense, a lot of times, again, you look at a record and or at least fans may look at a record and be quick to judge somebody. But that's not what we do as coaches. When you look at this offense, they're ninth in the nation in rushing. They're fourth in the nation in yards per carry, almost 6 yards a carry. And the quarterback is second in the country in all-purpose yards. So this is a real, real challenge for our defense this week as far as schematically what they do. I mean, they're really well coached. They've got a great scheme. And, you know, basically it's option football in a nutshell with a guy who can throw the ball really, really well and a bunch of misdirection and eye candy to go with it. You know, screen game, boots, wheels, you know, all the play action, every run they have, they got a pass off of it, all the tricks, throwbacks, you name it, they got it. But it starts with running the football. Very veteran offensive line. This is probably one of the more physical groups that we've seen. They play well up front. They got some guys outside that have made some big plays for them. But it all starts with his quarterback. I mean, he's a really dangerous football player, for sure. And like I said, he's second in the country in all purpose. So very, very good player. Got a big challenge there, especially with the style of play. And then defensively, you know, listen, the Virginia Tech has had a long history of defensive football, and they're a 4-3 front, and they've been kind of up and down a little bit with some of their personnel, but they've had an open date, so I'm sure they'll be getting some guys back and be as healthy as they've been in a long time. But same thing, they play physical, they get after you up front. They're about a 50% blitz team and bring a lot of pressure, so we've got to do a great job and matching up on that side. So looking forward to it, though, and hopefully continuing to improve our team. I thought we did some good things last week that we can build on, but still plenty of mistakes that we can learn from. And, also excited about some of our guys getting back. We came through the game really well and still moving in a good direction as far as the health of our team.
There you go, Coach Dabo Swinney breaking down the matchup with Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, of course, comes into this game. I think that they're like a 23-point underdog at home. My, how they've fallen off, man. Oof. Remember the days of Virginia Tech under their head coach? Man, they were really good. Really good. When they were under Frank Beamer, man, they were outstanding. Now, not so much. I wonder if they're going to be a team that resets in the offseason. Wouldn't surprise me if they decided, hey, you know what? Had about enough of this. We're going to go another direction. But the reality is that during the whole COVID-19 thing that we're dealing with, I don't really know what direction any of these teams expect to go. Financially, it's going to kill some universities. It's just sad. Sad across the board. All right, so if you want to we'll take calls this afternoon on the stuff with what Coach Bobo said. Do the Gamecocks have a chance against Kentucky? Or are you at the point now where it's just like, let's just pack it in? And I think there's a section of the fan base that is more interested in who the Gamecocks are going to hire than the game that's going to be played on Saturday. We'll take calls at 803-978-1832. 803-978-1832 is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Of course, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Shout out to a couple of folks that tweeted at me last night saying that they listen to the podcast. You can check out the podcast anywhere you want. Whatever app you're on, man, you can just look up The Rundown with Rob. Check out some of the stuff that's there. Kevin Fitzgerald joins us tomorrow. Of course, the ESPN play, one of the ESPN play-by-play guys. He's working the Creighton-Omaha game today. So, talk a little hoops with him tomorrow as we get set up here. I'm working on some other guests coming up here for the next week or so as we kind of roll down through the end of the year here. What a strange year in sports. You know, I mean, I was looking back and I try to do like a yearly retrospective of, you know, the different champions and stuff like that. But everything was just so affected by COVID-19. And, you know, the first shot was ruining the it ruined the NCAA basketball tournament. That was gone. And then, are we going to play college football? That's kind of what dominated the summer. Then that happens. We do get college football on the field, but certain conferences decided, hey, we're going to go this route, we're going to go that route, so we don't really have it in the normal feel that we've had it in. It's going to be interesting to see how long this goes on. Dr. Fauci talked a little bit today about kind of an optimistic view that we'll have full stadiums for the upcoming next football season. So that's going to be interesting, too, to see how that all shakes out. All right, you can follow me on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good. Give us a call at 803-978-1832. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll run down some news and notes from today. You can always respond to me on Twitter. I'm at Rob Sounds Good and the Facebook live feed. People like Edwin follow along every day on Facebook. We appreciate him. Saying Les Miles' LSU passing game was better than what Kentucky's is now. Yeah, that's true. More of The Rundown in just a moment on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Final segment of The Rundown this afternoon here on Fox Sports Radio 1400. I noticed something earlier today. ESPN's Kyle Bonagra and Mark Schlabach updated their bowl projections, and they've got South Carolina as one of the 13 SEC teams that will take a bowl game. Yes, according to these folks that follow stuff up there, they think the only team from the SEC that is not going to a bowl game is Vanderbilt. Which, by the way, I hate to be the bearer of bad news here. Not necessarily bad news. I think watching a Vanderbilt game is bad news, so we'll call it that. But if Sarah Fuller is going to be the kicker for Vanderbilt for the rest of the season, and they're going to guarantee that she can kick in the bowl game, someone would pick them up just because that would spike TV ratings. I'm just saying. Not that I don't want to see Sarah Fuller kick in a bowl game. I'm just saying that we'd have to watch Vanderbilt. No one should be made watch Vanderbilt football. I mean, it's pretty bad. Pretty, pretty bad. But getting back to the Gamecocks, they have the Gamecocks projected to go to the Gasparilla Bowl either against Virginia or Virginia Tech. I don't know how that's going to work. That's just their projections. This is something from ESPN. I would like to think there's two lines of thinking with this. We need to just get squared away with our coaching staff. And two, the other end of it is that you get those extra bowl practices. I don't know if I wouldn't mind having that to evaluate my team if I'm a new head coach. That wouldn't really bother me. The other end of it, though, is that, you know, if you have this break, you give your team time to get themselves squared away, meaning who's coming, who's going, etc. That's kind of the other way to look at it. So interesting that ESPN predicts 13 of the 14 SEC teams will go to a bowl game. Kind of interesting, to say the least. Some of the other matchups they've got for Alabama, they've got them in the Sugar Bowl, which is the CFP game, either against Clemson or Notre Dame. A couple of the other games here. Let's see here. Florida, they got them in the Orange Bowl against Miami. That would sell out. Why not have that game? Sell out with as many fans as you can get in there, but the rivalry between those two, that would go over well. LSU, they've got them in the Outback Bowl or the Texas Bowl, either against Northwestern or against Texas. I think from the LSU perspective, you want to play Northwestern. I mean, not Northwestern. You want to play Texas. Just my opinion, if you're going to have the option of the two. For Mizzou, they've got them in the Las Vegas Bowl against Oregon. Wow. Or the Gator Bowl against NC State. That could be interesting, too. It's going to be weird to see how these bowl games shake out and who's going to go where. But I'm kind of looking forward to it because we may end up with matchups that we've never seen before. I think a lot of the independent teams or teams from like the Sun Belt, etc. I read something that Liberty may not get into a bowl game, even though they've been ranked the majority of the season. They got one loss on the year. By the way, game day is coming to South Carolina. You probably heard this, but it's interesting. It's going to be down at Conway. And I'm so backwards with my thinking. It's like it's going to be a great game between Liberty and Coastal Carolina. I understand that. But here's the big thing on this. Who are they going to get to pick for the ESPN show? You know, I've seen some interesting names online. Vanna White, of course, from South Carolina. Why not? Vanna would probably go up there and just knock it out of the park. If they pick 12 games, she'd go 12-0. Seriously. Some other names on the list that I read earlier. Oh, my goodness. Excuse me. Dustin Johnson, of course, played at Coastal. That makes a lot of sense. Someone talked about Kenny Powers from the Myrtle Beach Mermen from Eastbound and Down. That might be fun. Yeah, I'm wondering who they're actually going to have pick games for Coastal. Like, we won't know until that morning, but it'll be fun either way. Anyway, tomorrow on the show, as I said, Kevin Fitzgerald will talk a little bit of basketball and some football. Tomorrow we'll also have comments from the head coach of Kentucky, Mark Stoops, and the head coach of Virginia Tech, Justin Fuentes, as they match up with Clemson and South Carolina. We'll get the idea of what they think about each game, give you an idea of what they're trying to do up there. So when you watch the game, you'll be a little more informed. Sometimes when I go back and listen to some of the coaches' press conferences just to so I can beef up a little bit, learn a little something. By the way, podcast for this show will be up at 5 o'clock today. If you want to check that out, you can listen whenever you want. Just download it on the iHeartRadio app. It really is DVR on the radio. Also today, don't forget Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk. He is the czar of Clemson sports. Since we're in December, he is now known as Swanee Claus. He will answer to Swanee Claus, seriously. When you tweet at him at Clemson Sports, just say, hey, Swanee Claus, and he'll answer back. Yo, yo, yo. He'll be on today from 4 to 6 o'clock. I wonder where his favorite elf, Lowell the Intern, is. We haven't heard anything from Lowell the Intern in a while. Swanee Claus' favorite elf. Anyway, you can listen to him here or the vast Clemson Sports Talk Radio Network, 100.1 The Fan in Florence, 920 AM in Manning, and of course, the biggest radio station in the world, the iHeartRadio app, because you can listen wherever you want. By the way, don't forget one other thing here, the Share Your Holiday Food Drive. I will be on site for the Share Your Holiday Food Drive at First Baptist Church on Thursday. So you can donate safely by texting SHAREFOOD to 44321 or stop by, donate some cash or non-perishable food items. You can drop it off that day at First Baptist Church. We'll be there. iHeart stations will be there from 5:30 in the morning until 5:30 that night. I will be there from 3 to 4, so come by and say hello. My name is Rob Sanders. Thanks for joining us here on The Rundown. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400.